Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Blessed.
Very good. It's good to see everyone. First week of school down. How's it feel? Well, we're working on the routine, but anyhow, here we go. Another school year, so let's make the best of it. I want to continue this morning with what we started last week. And really began with this kind of an idea that let's take Satan seriously. And I say that because I think within our culture as a whole, there's very much we're very much scientific. And in other words, it's our five senses, and if you can't, you know, do one of those, then you're very skeptical about it, or it probably doesn't exist, or that kind of thing. Very often the level of proof can be so high and so difficult. And I think sometimes that can rub off onto us, and we can lose sight of the fact, and I do think it's a fact, that Satan is real. That Satan is real. And one of the things that I did last week, and I want to ask it again today, just to kind of move into it and get you to thinking for just a second, because if I can at least just get you to ask this question, even if you don't answer it the same way I do, if you can at least ask it and answer for yourself, there may be some value in that. Do you believe that at some time, somewhere between some demons, there's been a conversation about your downfall? Or the possible celebration of it? You know? And again, in Scripture, we have the notion, if you go back to Luke, Jesus tells Peter, Satan is asking to sift you like wheat. So at least there was a conversation at that level. And it's just, even if you don't answer it the same way that I would, I have a feeling that if you're trying to do what's right, there's been a conversation about how to stop it on the other side. So take it that way. Look at this verse, for instance. This is from Luke 15:10. Jesus says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Now, if you've been like me, how many baptism ceremonies that you've been at and you've heard this verse, right? There's a lot of excitement there. Well, this doesn't necessarily have to refer to baptism, does it? In other words, just a sinner who repents. That kind of thing. And what I want us to do for a moment, and it's football season, so it feels good. Good to see some games and that kind of thing. And I went ahead and just thought of a football type of illustration. And I want to ask you if... and I want to go back to something undisputable among us, at least if you're a Longhorn fan. Now, if you're not a Longhorn fan, then this probably won't mean much, but just put it in your context. I love YouTube for the fact that you can go back and find some things. So I went back to the 06... UT-USC game with 14 seconds left, fourth down, and what was it, five or six, and Vince Young gets the ball, and what does he do? Looks to throw, there's nothing to throw, and he runs it into that. Now let me ask you something. If you are a UT fan, were you sitting in your couch going, oh, that's great? Were you? Or were you up out of the couch, out of your chair, screaming at the top of your lungs going, yeah! Right? And we've got our first home game, at least varsity home game, coming up here at Lake Travis. And I use this illustration to kind of get it in your mind. When something, in other words, do you go to a Lake Travis game and spend your whole time sitting? Well, you better not. Because there are times something happens on the field that you do what? You stand. Now the problem is, there's times when the other side, we're looking at them over there, something happens on the field, and who gets to stand? They do, and we do this, right? Well, hopefully there'll be more of us standing than them this year, but you get the point. And all I really want to do is get this notion across that very likely, this image of there's something going on. We're down there in the arena. We're playing on the field, and there's two sides that are watching the game very intently, and it matters what we do as to which side stands up and rejoices. In other words, I wanted to do this. Now, this isn't scripture, folks. I just changed it. But in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of Satan over one person who listens to the demons. What do you think? I mean, if one side's cheering, why wouldn't the other Right? We may not like it when those guys sitting on the other side over there stand up and yell, but do we blame them? No. So if you want to get that imagery there and get that notion. So what I want to do now is I want to run through, because as believers, I'm thinking we would take Scripture seriously. So let's run through a few verses here and just notice these. This comes from Acts 10. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went in all around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Okay? This comes from 2 Timothy 2. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and what? Escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This comes from Hebrews 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This comes from Luke 13. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? This comes from Galatians 4. Formerly, when you who did not know God were formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now you know God, or rather are known by God. How is it that you are turning back again to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Now, get the point? Would you like me to look up some more? Or can we work with what's there and what we've been shown? I hope we can work with what's been shown there. That there is a Satan, there is a devil, there's a side that is working against us. Are we good to this point? We good to this point? Now, I want to first off thank Joe Donnelly for this pick. He sent this to me this week. Yeah, Joe, I got it scanned and got it up there. So I thought I'd use this today because he knew I was going to be doing a little series on this. And of course, I guess you get the context. This is like our football game. You got two sides pulling for what's going to happen here. So Joe, thanks for that, and I appreciate it. Let me just ask you with a question here to begin with. Do you believe that in a given situation there's a certain thing that God would like you to do? And I can modify that a little. That maybe in a given situation, maybe there's more than one thing God would be happy with getting done. Okay. Sometimes people say, what's the path I'm supposed to pick? Sometimes I say, just pick one and make it right. In other words, there may be multiple doors that God would open for you and be happy for you to walk through. But the point is, there are certain outcomes God would desire, and can we agree that there are certain outcomes God would not desire? We good there? Yeah. And so again, I'm asking that question. Why not Satan or his demons? Why not them? Why wouldn't they have an outcome that they would desire? And can we take a side note for just a second here? Because I'm going to be inconsistent on something, so I want to explain it to you. All right. And this is really just more in my mind, but it'll help you understand where I'm coming from. I think there's a fallacy, or there's a problem sometimes in Christianity that we have, in that we tend to make Satan God's equal. And I'd like to stay here today. He's not. We good? Okay. There is a fallacy sometimes. In other words, typically we go with God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all those omnis that we put those words with, that kind of thing. We say those type of things about him. And I want to say Satan is not. He is not all-knowing. So in other words, it's kind of an interesting question to ask. Do you wonder, does Satan know who you are? He may or he may not. Does God know who you are? Yeah, shake your heads yes on this. Not a trick question. Yeah, God knows who you are. Does Satan? I don't know. But what I want to make the point is, even if Satan doesn't, there's one of his minions that does. So we're good there. So, little side note there. Sometimes I'll say Satan, sometimes I'll say a demon. I don't know if Satan knows who we are or not. I had a guy ask an interesting question one time. He said, should we pray out loud? If we pray out loud, Satan knows what our weaknesses are. In other words, he had a mindset that said, Satan can't read your mind. He can't know your heart. He can only... So I don't know what the answer is. How do you answer that? What would you say to that guy? The answer is, I don't know. IDK. You know, I don't know. IDK, right? But I thought it was an interesting question. And it just simply helps make the point. Satan is not God. He is not an equally powerful force opposing God. And if we had more time to talk about him, I'd make the point Satan is defeated. He is the wounded bear in the woods that's going to die, and he's going to take out as many as he can before he goes. So if I go back and forth between Satan and demons, you know why I'm inconsistent there. But you know what I'm coming from. So do what you want to with that. Now, I'm going with this little image. I liked it, and Joe brought this to me. This business about the whispering in the ear. And I got to thinking about it. When does Satan like to whisper to us? Are there certain times that it's better to whisper than others? Okay, if you've been married, isn't there certain times to bring up a subject with your spouse than other? Aren't there better times than another, right? If it's football season. If I'm watching football, when is a good time for my wife to bring something up? Halftime, that's right, amen. Yeah, halftime. Don't walk in a third and 14 and want to talk to me about something. Commercials or halftime, right? So is there a more opportune time for Satan to whisper something in our ear? Is there a more opportune time? And here's the thing that I want to suggest to us today. In our frustration, can y'all help that? Dear help desk, my computer kept telling me I have an invalid username or password, and now my keyboard doesn't work. Some of y'all may appreciate that one, right? Yeah. What's the problem there? The computer's not really the problem, is it? Well, I guess there's times when the computer could be broken. Typically, it's probably first choice is user error, right? Amen. Now, it could be some programmers need to be smacked. Fair enough. Could be there are a few programmers need that pop. Did the computer deserve it? Yeah. But in our frustration, and see, that's a good illustration of in our frustration, very often, we take it out and we do stuff to the wrong one or the wrong person. That computer probably didn't deserve that. The programmer or the user. They probably should have gone like that, right? That's probably who deserved it. But in our frustration, I am suggesting to you this morning, that is a great time for Satan to perch on your shoulder and whisper in your ear. Okay? Now, I wanted to take a moment and just kind of at least get you to ask the question for yourself. How much bad has been done through frustration in Scripture? I mean, think about it for a second. Now, I can't make as strong a case on this one, but I got to wondering about Eve a little bit. Maybe was there a little frustration that she wasn't like God and didn't know as much as Him? I mean, how did Satan entice her? If you eat this, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And then what did she do? She looked and she said, well, it does look good, and I'd be like God. See how he instilled a little sense of frustration there? Think about Moses for just a second. You know the story of Moses. Moses was born to be the deliverer, right? He's born to be the deliverer. And yet, Moses, I would suggest to you, in his frustration, thwarted what could have happened. In other words, Moses had to go into hiding for 40 years. Why? Because he killed an Egyptian. He saw an Egyptian beating one of his brothers, and he killed him, and he buried the body. And what did that lead to? Now, I mean, why did he kill this Egyptian? Is it fair to say he was frustrated? So why did he kill this Egyptian? Probably out of some frustration. Probably he may have even had at this time in his life, I wonder if he had a sense of, I am to be the deliverer for these people. That's why I have been spared in the miraculous, very divine way that I have. Maybe it's time to start. In other words, his frustration spilled over before God was ready. And so his sin led to what? 40 years out in the wilderness. Yeah. And then if you look later in the story, remember, why didn't Moses enter the land with the rest of the people? Well, in all fairness, he had a frustrating job. Would you agree? Amen. Those are some frustrating people. And Moses did what to the rock? He struck it. Remember our image of the computer keyboard? It was struck. Yeah. It's what we do in our frustration, don't we? And that thing, and that very act did what? Kept him out. You think about David. David had some frustration in his life. And the one story that stands out is when David and his men were out there hiding. And Nabal, the man that had all the flocks and everything, they protected his shepherds. And it was time for the shearing and the big party was going to go on. There was going to be all the food. David sends down some men and said, could you send something our way? And Nabal says, who are you that I should even listen to you? And David tells his boy, let me look at the text, says, strap on your swords, boys. We're going to town. and there won't be anybody left in this household alive when I'm done. Now, of course, Abigail intervenes, and David realizes that she saved him from a sin. So when Nabal's dead, he takes her as a wife because he needs an advisor like that. Amen. Right, guys? Amen. Yeah, you need one of those. You need a smart woman who can keep us from doing something stupid in our frustration. Amen. Yeah. So you see that. I wonder sometimes about Abraham. He's been made this promise, and from the time he's made the promise before he ever gets a child, it's a long time. And what does he do? He and his wife agree to try and have a child through Hagar. Can you imagine? Okay, is it or is it not frustrating if you want a child and can't have one? It is, isn't it? Amen? Yeah. And so out of that frustration, you try and do it that way. Without going into all the details, we're still dealing with that sin today, aren't we? In a whole other way. I wonder about Paul. What is he doing? He's persecuting the Christians. Probably a sense of frustration that this little sect that he thinks is wrong, that he thinks is spreading lies, is growing. Yeah. And I even wonder about Judas a little bit. Why did he turn on Jesus? Was there some frustration with him? I can't prove that one as well, but I kind of wonder. I kind of wonder about that. You see, here's where I'm heading this morning. Are you frustrated? See, I want to say something here that I think is probably on task. Well, I know the kids are frustrated because school started. I can say I'm looking at a whole group of people here, and without exception, you're frustrated this morning about something. Amen? I mean, does anybody here want to stand up this morning saying, life's just where I've got it and I have no frustrations? Well, you tell me about it on the way out the door. Probably nobody wants to challenge you on that. Hey, if you're in that shape, God bless you. It won't last. Amen? It won't last. So if you're there, enjoy it. God bless you. Take that God-given time. But the rest of us are frustrated. And I'm telling you that Satan is there, whispering in your frustration. Whispering in it. And sometimes he whispers this: why don't you just quit? Has Satan ever whispered that in your ear? Why don't you just quit? Quit! Stop! Quit! Because if you're frustrated about the good that you're trying to do, and if you ever try to do good, do you believe, it's not scripture, but do you believe this, no good deed goes unpunished? Well, I feel that way sometimes. If you're trying to do some good, there's probably going to be some frustration pop up, and Satan is going to be there whispering in your ear saying, just quit. Now, side note, folks, there are times in life to quit something, okay? Whole other sermon. Yes, there are times to walk away from something. There are times when probably God may be telling you no, and you need to walk away. That's not this sermon. There's some wisdom here in being able to discern all these types of things. Yes, there are times to quit, but I'm asking you, if Satan's whispering in your ear saying, can you just quit? Ask yourself, is that really a message, thanks for the image, Joe, from which side? Saying quit. Yeah. Because I wonder how many people have quit and Satan won. How many people have quit and Satan won? I think sometimes Satan likes to whisper in our ear, it's everybody else's fault. You ever had to do something with a group and it didn't go as planned? And when something doesn't go as planned, what is it our nature as humans to do? Find fault. Right? Going to start looking for the problem. And if you're not careful, Satan is there whispering in your ear, it's everybody else's fault. You didn't do anything. You did everything you were supposed to in this circumstance. Unless there is some weird alignment of the stars, that's a lie. My experience has been that in group settings, there's plenty of fault to go around to everybody. And sometimes the person that's declaring the loudest, it's not my fault, is the one, what? Who the most fault lies with. They're trying to justify something. In other words, instead of letting Satan whisper in your ear, it's everybody's fault, and you're all looking out there at them, maybe you need to turn inward for a second and just for a moment ask yourself, what is my fault? What did I do to contribute to this? That's the little angel, that's the little halo guy whispering in your ear. He may be trying to whisper in your ear, Satan's telling you it's not your fault, I'm telling you, you did contribute. Okay? Because if Satan can get you to believe in it's everybody else's fault, I've done everything I can, I am not at fault, you're probably heading down his path. Probably listen to him. Now, here's another thing that I think Satan likes to whisper to us. This is not stupid. Okay, what do I mean by that? Have you ever found yourself in an argument or a tension over somebody, and when you could finally get a little bit of objectivity and back up, you go, this was just stupid that we were ever arguing about this. So if Satan can convince you that something that is stupid is not stupid, and he can get you to take a stand on that, he wins. He wins. Yeah. So be careful and ask yourself, is what I'm arguing about and what this frustration is about and whatever the problem is it stupid or not? Because the truth is, in my life, there have been some times I've had to say, Barry, you're stupid. You're an idiot. Stop and change. This is not important. But I, too many times in my life, have seen people take things that are not important and make them important. The other thing is Satan likes to whisper in our ear in our frustration. Of course things are supposed to go your way. Amen? Of course it's supposed to be your way. Is there anybody here this morning who can honestly say they've never had this thought? Put me in charge and I would fix this problem. Right? Everybody here's done that, haven't you? You've all said, boy, if you put me in charge, if everybody would just shut up, listen to me, make me king for a week, and I would fix this mess. It's probably Satan whispering in your ear. You're not God. I mean, do we live in a world that is a mess today? Yeah. And God, he's still working on fixing us, isn't he? And if he put you in charge for a week, you're going to do it? The answer is no. So very often, Satan likes to whisper in your ear, of course things are supposed to go your way. Of course you're smarter than everybody else. Of course you're more mature than everybody else. Of course everybody ought to listen to you. If they just get out of your way and give you the door, you can do whatever you want. It's a lie. Amen, church? I'll end with this one, and I won't explain very much because this is where we'll pick up next week. I think the other thing that Satan likes to whisper in our ear is, you deserve this. You deserve this. I'll leave it there as a teaser to come back next week, because we're going to take this a little bit further, because I think there's another lie. There's some other things that Satan likes to try and do. Are you frustrated about something? Amen? Just be careful this week that it's not Satan whispering in your ear, making it worse. We good, church? All right, I got to turn you loose here.